Okay, so today we're going to try something new, boys and girls. Actually, probably just boys, if we're being honest. Hopefully this podcast represents a generation of kind of like new types of podcasts, because I actually had so much fun doing this. What you're about to hear is, I want to say an interview, but also kind of more of a conversation. And on this occasion, it's with Juicebox, who is a drag queen from season one of Canada's Drag Race. And if you hear that and you think to yourself, oh my God, I don't follow RuPaul's Drag Race. I actually don't really like drag queens that much. In fact, Florida, don't ask, don't tell. I got you, because I also am not really an avid follower of Drag Race. And just to be totally candid, that is something that I've thought about in the last couple of weeks, because I'm not really proud of that, because I do think, specific to me, someone in my position, you know, who's lived in like a major city where Drag Race is very popular, and I've spent time with people in the places where Drag Race is very popular, it's interesting that it's something I've been avoidant of. And I do think that there are some questions there to be asked. It's not something I've thought about a ton, but I do think that just as I have supported and shone a light on straight men making porn in previous episodes, it's really important to me I sort of express the same enthusiasm about my own people. And for what that represents, maybe that's something I've been avoidant of, scared of, and that maybe, you know, it's a little too confronting for me. I think that's a reality. So just bear that in mind. But what I would like to add is, this is so much more than that. This is a meeting of two minds, of two men who are similar ages with commonalities, who found themselves online in a really platonic way, who express interest in what each other were doing. And I think that's really awesome. I also, of course, take my hats off to anyone who supports me or, you know, embarks in these creative endeavors with me, where they don't really gain very much. I think it's really cool when people just do stuff like this for the fun of it. So hats off to Juicebox for sure. I enjoyed this conversation, and I think I actually learned a little bit from it too. And next time Drag Race is on in a bar, or I see it on my TV pop up, I'm going to make a considered effort to support that, because it is a very brave, courageous, and now somewhat rebellious thing to do. And the kind of masculinity that sits within the femininity is brave, all-encompassing. And when you can just do it all, I feel like, wow, that must put you in such a position of power, honestly. And it feels to me like an enlightened place to be, that I'm definitely not, and a very brave thing to do, not just do drag, but also go on TV doing drag, talk to your parents about it, all of the things. So yeah, I know so many men in my life wouldn't do that, including myself. So just food for thought, and I look forward to watching an episode of Drag Race in the future.
Nice. So do you want to just introduce yourself really quickly? That would be amazing.
Hello, my name is Juicebox. I'm from season one of Canada's Drag Race.
Wait, so that's how you introduce yourself? That's why I wanted you to do it. I was curious.
Well, that's what I'm known for, right? It's not like I'm like, hi, my name is Juicebox. I'm that random cross-dresser you saw on Friday night, you know? Like, people know me mostly from Canada's Drag Race, so I say, this, my intro is usually, hi guys, my name is Juicebox, I'm from season one of Canada's Drag Race, and I'm really happy to be here.
And do you relate to that?
Being from season one of Canada's Drag Race?
Yeah, like, does that stick? Does that work for you? I guess the, like, the road I was going down more so was like, if it's something that you were doing before and something that you did after the show, like, for me, if I was in your position, I think that I would, like, be, like, kind of tied to that, like, original creation that you had rather than like the show.
I mean, I am. I'm because me, the art that I did before and after the show is still the same. It's just I had more money after, so I was able to grow a bit more, because drag is a financial fucking burden. So the more money you have, the more you're able to put into your art. But I still would have grown in the same way. Right. I just probably wouldn't have had access to a lot of things. If anything, I'd probably have access to a little bit more, because when you're doing drag on a like a local level, you work a lot more. When you do drag on a drag race level, when you're not super famous, when you're not like a Lemon or a Jimbo, you work a little bit less. So it's like you work less for bigger paychecks versus working every single night for smaller paychecks.
Okay, so let's rewind, because I'm like so interested in it. When did you start is really the question I'm getting to, because
2017.
So how old were you in 2017?
27.
Which is still like such a baby to be like so brave, I think, because I feel like if somebody now told me that I to pursue drag, I might need like a couple years to like build up to that.
Well, what were you doing at 26?
At 26, I was like running around New York, like definitely definitely, like, still a bit nervous to even go to a gay club. Definitely wouldn't have gone to, like, a big gay night or anything like that.
Yeah, you were still in the closet?
No, I wasn't in the closet at all. I was just, like, a little insecure about just about all that stuff. So, like, yeah, that's, like, the piece I'm, like, so impressed by, because to, like, know that you want to do drag and then also pursue it is, like, I don't know. I feel like there's such
confidence. It's a leap, and you've kind of need to fall in love with it. It's hard. It's expensive. It's taxing. Right. You know, it's a lot to take on, but it's gratifying, and it's a great career, and it is super fun to do.
I just feel like I'd be so like nervous about embarrassing myself. Honestly, that's what I feel.
Oh,
like.
Really? No, yeah, you'd be fine.
It's not so much like the dressing up part or like the femininity part. It's more so just about maybe just not being very good, you know?
Oh, okay, that's fair. I was going to say, because you're very pretty in the face. So, like, you'd be fine makeup-wise, I feel, especially you'd find somebody to help you out with that. But there is, like, the performing part is the hard part, you know?
Yeah,
And entertaining.
Yeah, and all these shows, RuPaul especially, like, it just sets people up, doesn't it, to embarrass themselves. It's like, you have to be really smart to, like, not get caught up at any point in that process, I feel like.
Oh, babe, my whole first episode was one big embarrassment after the other. Like, it was one, two, three. So you just kind of need to own it.
Once it's happened, it's happened.
It's happened. Yeah, the only thing that's going to make it embarrassing is if you're embarrassed. If you are just like, man, it happened, and move on.
Uh-huh.
You're fine.
Okay, when like, drag queens, like, talk about their experience where they first decided they wanted to do drag, or, like, their first performance, is that, like, a parallel experience to coming out, or not at all? Like, when you realise that that's, like, something you want to pursue?
I mean, maybe? I didn't think it was. For me, it was just, like, I was a party girl, right? So I was always out, I was always with the queens, I was always drinking and having fun. So for me, it was just another night out, but with a wig on. I feel like the coming out was when you start taking it seriously and start doing it as a job.
Right.
Is when you have to tell the people in your life, like, this is what I'm doing now for money. And, like, my parents were really good when I came out. Like, they were really extremely supportive. So when I told them that I was going to start doing drag for a side gig before I started getting into it full time, my dad said, that's fine. Do whatever you need to do to make money. Just don't get boobs. And I said, oh, and he's like, I don't care if you get boobs. I don't care if you want to get boobs. I just don't want to pay for them. So no boobs. And I went, fair.
Yeah, I love that. Your dad's like, I'm going to be paying for this. It's just like a
Because I was a young, dumb fucking idiot living in Toronto with, like, who could barely pay my bills. So he's like, in his mind, he's just like, he's fucking going to ask for tits and I'm going to have to pay for them.
There's like a parallel experience, I guess, like OF. That, because it's like the same thing. It's like when you decide that you want to really, like, publicly pursue something, everyone in your life pretty much is going to find out.
Well, so, yeah.
Yeah. And if your parents don't care, then my parents also don't really, are probably similar to yours, don't really give up two fucks. They just care that I'm happy, and to be honest. So.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah. Awesome. And so it sounds like the same about yours as well. So that makes it so much more.
Yeah, fun. Similar. Although they have said to me, like, they've said, whatever money you need, we will give it to you. Just don't show your dick on the internet. Like, that was their last straw. They were like, no, put it away. That's the thing we
ask. What about if you just sucked dick and you didn't get
it out? What if it's just other people's dicks, Mom?
I think
she'd be like, please, no.
Was your online success, like, pertaining to followers overnight from the show? Or did you already have a fan base before?
So I had 12,000 people when I first started. When I first got on Drag Race, I had 10 to 12. And then when I got announced, I went from 12 to 50, okay. I think. And then when I got eliminated, because it was the first episode, when I got eliminated, I went from 50 to 80. And then I gradually built from there. As the show went on, and it would slowly, slowly build. Now I'm 4 years post show, so my followers are going down. So I went from 99.9 to now I'm at 96.8. So it fluctuates. There's like the Drag Race fans fall off, the bots fall off. You know, there's things that kind of just stop because that window is closing smaller and smaller and new and hotter, younger people are showing up. So if you don't get on All Stars, it kind of like goes down a bit and then you kind of need that other thing to bring you back up.
But then there's people like me who like follow you just because I know you from Instagram. And so surely those people are almost like more valuable because they're the people who like what you're putting out right now rather than what you were 4 years ago.
You don't worry about the 96,000 people who are looking at you. You worry about that 1% who is engaging with your content and is supporting you and who is enjoying what you do. Those are the people that you really appreciate because they're the ones that keep you kind of going creatively. You know, if I had 96,000 people watching me, but then all of a sudden I was getting zero engagement, like zero views on anything. Right. I wouldn't do anything. I'd be like, who am I doing this for? You know.
And surely, like, if you look at all of the other queens who were eliminated episode one, you must be superseding them because you're doing your own shit that's like separate to that too.
In Canada, I would say I'm the most success, like, not to sound arrogant,
no, I know what you're saying. No.
But out of the girls who went home first in my franchise, in the Canadian franchise, I would say I'm doing one of the best out of them. But that's because I worked hard, you know?
Yeah, I always say gain traction. That's like my verbiage around that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I gained a bit more traction.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep in mind, I was season one. I've had a little bit more time to do it. And also, I was the season announced when there was only two other franchises. So there was the US franchise, there was the UK franchise, and then there was Thailand. And Thailand hadn't come out with a new season in a while. So we premiered right after UK season one. So I was fresh off that, like, you would still have to wait a little bit for a drag race. So, like, I got a lot of traction and I got a lot of eyes on me because of that. Right. And now these seasons 2, 3, 4, and then eventually 5, we're in that era where there's 5,000 fucking drag race seasons a year. So they unfortunately don't get as many eyes on them. So that's, I don't like to just come out and say, it's just because I'm better than you. I was in place, right time, you know?
Well, and also like pursuing, you're like pushing your own content still.
Oh yeah. Fucking working my cock off. Jesus Christ.
And, you know, like something I also think about just people who are freelance in general compared to like what I do, because with, OF, like, it's pretty instant gratification because you start and there's no really, you're not paying for overheads or anything, and then you put stuff out there. You have to hustle online somewhat, but pretty fast you get to kind of like have that feedback because so many people are interested in sex, obviously. When it comes to like drag or something like that, you've got to like fucking put it, you've got to like believe in yourself, you've got to go and rehearse, you've got to plan. It's like way more of a, like,
you mean you're not rehearsing sex? What do you mean?
And even if you are, that's like fun, you know. I always think if I didn't get attention, like, how long, when would I have given up, like, if I, because I probably got attention in the first 4 months, a small bit like you talked about, but that's enough to keep you going. But if I was like doing something like you were doing and having to pitch myself to bars and keep knocking on doors, and then especially getting eliminated from a really popular show, like, it's quite a lot of your energy that you're having to put out there, I feel, compared to what I'm doing.
Yeah, bitch, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, fuck.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. I feel disheartened if I put like an Instagram post out and then I'm like, oh, but it's not like a whole routine, you know?
Oh, you can't. I have to, when I post something on Instagram, I have to turn off likes completely. Uh-huh. I never look at them. I just put it out there and I'm like, okay, it's out there, it's done. Because I used to obsess over the comments, I'd obsess over the likes, because I used to get like anywhere between like 15 to 20,000 likes on a post, and now like post show I'm hitting like maybe 1,000 to 2,000 on something, sometimes 500. Like, people, again, it's that 1% gets the content, but also like the algorithm's fucking garbage.
I know.
So just like, I try not to even worry about Instagram. Just put shit out that makes you happy and then just move on.
Right. But I don't know. I feel like Instagram houses the people, like, for me, obviously it's like so different, but Instagram houses the people who are like interested in me personally. So I kind of like,
and
love
Twitter is
Instagram.
The work stuff.
Twitter is just like, is still a big part of me, and there's so many more people there, but they're not like, I think that they're like, shut the fuck up. Like, so for example, they're like, I'm here for one thing. So I'm
one
like,
one thing only.
Yeah, exactly. I almost think of Instagram as like my Patreon, if that makes sense.
Oh, you should just get a Patreon.
Oh no, I don't think anyone would care. Maybe.
You never know.
I don't know.
You never know. You really get those diehards.
I don't know, but for me, there's something so important about, like, not having a Patreon and putting out this type of content, because it just, like, psychologically for me balances out all of the, like, spicy content that I'm making. So I feel quite nice because I get to see my podcast statistics specifically. And every week, say I can see, like, 5,000 people listen to various episodes a week. I'm like, oh, that makes me feel good, because that's 5,000 people who, like, know that I'm not a total whore. So that makes me feel better. If that makes sense.
That's good.
And if it was behind a paywall, I might make more money, and it might only be like 10 to 200 people, but I care more about, like, the
gratification.
Yeah.
You can get your money with the dicks, with the spicy
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hello, don't forget to sign up for $6.99 a month. Yeah. I don't know. Is it $6.99? How much
yes,
is
it? Yes, it is.
Is it? Nice.
Thank you so much.
No worries.
So have you ever thought about it?
OnlyFans?
Yeah.
So there was a time at the beginning of the year where I wasn't working a lot, and I had put out a thing saying, like, hey, how many of you would subscribe? And I literally sat there and, like, did the math on, like, how many people said yes and, like, how much money I would make a month.
How many?
If I charged $6.99 a month, I would have made $4,000 US a month with how many people who had said yes.
So $6.99 minus OnlyFans fee. So now you're making $5.50.
$5.50.
Yeah.
So either way, it was about like $4,000 a month, and I was like, that's really good money. But then I was just like, do I want to do that? Because then my thought too was like, it's like starting it. Also, it's so much. It looks like so much work. It looks like, and I already have to hustle so much with like podcasting, Twitch streaming, and drag itself, that I was like, this is a lot of work. I can't imagine having to range, having dudes coming over and having sex with them. Like, fuck. Also, I have, like, body image issues, and, like, I'm not as fit as I used to be. Like, I'm as fit and as strong as I used to be, but I don't look the way I want to look, especially if I'm going to be putting my whole body out. So I'm just like, you know what? I don't think so right now, but...
So, like, would if you were Adonis, is what you're saying.
Oh, if I had abs and huge fucking tits. If I looked like fucking you, nonstop. Nonstop. But
you could arrange it.
Yeah, I think I'd be fine.
You'd find a way.
But I think because of right now, the way that my body is, I'm good. I also found, like, a part-time job, which it's not making $4,000 a month, but it's giving me that gratification and that, like, sense of self in a more masculine way that's not just only making money as Jews.
Right. What's the Venn diagram of, like, drag queens to OnlyFans people? What is that?
I would say there's a pretty big crossover. I find sex work and drag, there's always that crossover. We run in similar fields, we run in similar bars, we have a history together. They're like, you're drag queens and the go-go boys, and drag queens and dancers, or just drag queens themselves who just happen to also want another side hustle and using sex work also as a thing. So I find that it's very close. Like, even look at Drag Race. Like, you've got, like, Dahlia Sin, who was really big on her OnlyFans for a while, and then you had I think Aiden Zane has an OnlyFans, and like there's a bunch even on ours who are freely open on OnlyFans. So I find there is a crossover, but I just think it's a hard decision because it's forever, right?
Is it?
I mean, the internet's forever. There's your digital footprint exists, and like, listen, all of, like, the things that I've put out are forever.
Okay, but like, sucking a few dicks on the internet and having a panic attack on Drag Race.
Yeah, like, it's up forever.
But that kind of, like, you've already done it, I feel like.
Might as well suck a dick, babe.
Yeah, like, seriously.
I mean, I'm not saying
anyway, I'm not
never,
pushing you
but
to do that, obviously, but...
No. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not seeing that. I'm not saying, like, never, but I'm saying, like, not at the moment.
Yeah, fair.
You know? Not at the moment. And I feel like, for me, it was always something on the back burner, and... And that's, again, going back to that thing where it's like there's always something that you need to keep for yourself. And I think my naked body was just that one thing that I was just like, I think that's I just want to keep for me for now. Because I feel like with Drag Race, they take everything from you. The fans suck the life out of you. Just
you really
not
feel
to
like
come,
that?
You know?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, bitch. Yeah, they suck the fucking life out of you. They want everything from you. And it's like, not to complain, I'm so happy for their support, so happy for the platform. So like, love them so much. But they really do. Drag Race fans are another level of fandom.
Also, it's interesting that you say about OF and like your body issues and you'd feel like basically like exposed and insecure, because that's exactly how I feel about drag. Like, I would feel, back to the front of this conversation, like, that's exactly how I would feel, like, seeing you on that stage in your two-piece, cold, like, for me, that feels exactly like the same things that you were talking about. So, I, like,
yeah,
because that's your body, too.
Like, it is. On TV. My body. Yeah, I think it's, like, maybe it's that, like, internalized thing where it's, like, my private area is hidden, so it's fine.
I don't think so. I think the psychology is that you're juice in that moment and I'm rich in this moment. So, like, I think that it's probably, like, really actually a similar, like...
I love that. Psychology. I love that we found that connection. Look at
us. I do think that we did. Yeah, I do.
Sisters.
Yeah, like, literally.
That's so funny.
And do you... Something I talk about all the fucking time... Actually, because I only recently have been maybe like speaking more openly to gay people about like some of the nuances and struggles I've had just in general, I guess, with just like being gay growing up and now living as an adult. And one of the biggest like crux of my issue is like masculinity. And I felt like growing up very embarrassed by my femininity, but also so fucking resentful of masculinity because of the way I was being treated by men. So it was like such a weird distaste, because I was like, I don't want to be feminine, but I also hate masculinity too. As I've grown up, I've like worked through that so much. But that's why when I see somebody like you, I'm like, that would really confuse me, just like the push and pull of like being masculine and feminine, or that. I don't know if it means that much to you.
It's confusing, and it's also like you start to get comfortable in one area and it's almost like you start to resent the other, which can be sad. But like, when I get into drag, I feel great when I'm in it and when I'm performing and when I'm done. But when I wash my face and I take it all off, my face, because I don't have hair, right? I'm bald as a cue ball, you know? But not cue. I don't have that weird accent real. She does. This is my real hair. That I don't do that. But so if I don't have facial hair or anything, I get, my face looks puffy. My face is stained. It's like, I look like I look like a cut dick, like nothing there, you know? So it's just like, for me, I struggle for those days after, because I don't feel secure in myself as a man, because I don't look how I want to look. But then all of a sudden, I grow facial hair.
Which is what, like a porn star or like juice? Like, what is it that you want to look
juice.
Like?
Juice. Okay. I want to look like this. I want to look normal, you know? Okay. I got facial hair. My eyes aren't puffy. I don't have like mascara under here. Because when I'm juice, I feel good because I look hot and I'm a drag queen and stuff. But then it's that residual. Have you ever worn a lot of makeup?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I must have done it. Yes, yes.
So
yes.
Like the day after, you look a little rough, you know?
Maybe not like layers. I'm not baking, etc.
I was going to say, I'm wearing like pounds of this shit, you know? So like for 2 days after, I looked absolutely terrible. So like right now, like just to give you an idea, right now I have a really big thing I have to film at work on Friday, and then Saturday I'm doing a Spartan run with all my friends. So my thinking is, if I get into drag today, I might look normal for my exam on Friday, and then I'll feel okay for Saturday. But if I don't have time today, then I have to do it Friday night, and I'm just going to look really rough on Saturday. Like, that's what I have to think about, is, like, those next few days, I'm going to look like a fucking monster, you know?
So in a dream scenario, you don't have to think about something like that, and surely the solution is that you're just, like, juice all the time.
No, oh my God.
In your work life, is that too scary? Is that too much?
No, oh my God, juice all the time, I'd rather kill myself.
Really?
Oh my God,
why? Absolutely not. Just in your work life, I mean, just in your work commitments.
I guess, but juice every day. I did a tour. Why? Oh, it was awful. I went on tour, and I was in drag for, out of 20 days, I was in drag 17. I hated it. Like, I loved the work, but being in drag that much, you're like, I want to see what my dick looks like, first of all, because it's just always put away. I hate the, like, constantly putting on like an hour and a half to do your makeup like every single day. It's exhausting, you know? So it's just like, I feel like drag, for me, ideal world, drag on the weekends. great.
Drag on the weekends. Is there like
on the weekends.
Is there a world that you can do that and make a living, work 2 days a week as a just doing drag?
That's what I do.
That well, that's fucking ideal. That's
yeah,
a two-day week.
Oh my God. Living the dream. Well, I mean, I still have to have a... I have to get supplementary income because there's slow months. But if I... In my busy times, when I'm working every single weekend, I don't need to have a 9-to-5 during the week.
And when you work during the weekends, like, I imagine if I was doing this, I'd be, like, texting all my friends every time, being like, I'm doing this. And did all your friends and family come and see every show and they're, like, so excited? Or is that like, over
Tell
now?
Them to get fucked. Don't come to the show.
Really? For real?
Sometimes they'll be like, should I come? I'm like, no, why? I don't come and sit with you at work. Why are you going to come and see me? You know? Fair enough, what, that's my thing.
Because it's performance. It's not like your middle management in marketing, is it? It's a performance.
I know,
piece.
But it's performance, but it's like, for me, it's like, if I was doing something special, you know, if I was doing something new, if I was doing something exciting, I'd be like, this is going to be a really good show. I would love if you came. But if I'm just doing like Joe Schmo, like my regular old thing, I'd be like, you don't need to come. You've seen this 100 times. You know? Don't bother. And they have, you know? They know what I'm going to do. They're going to go, okay, she's going to hair flip in 3, 2, there it is. Uh-huh. You know? So it's like, they know. But that's just like my friends and family. Like, my husband doesn't come. Uh-huh. My husband straight up says, he's like, I love you so much. I'm so happy for your job. Why the fuck would I come to see you?
Which
he's
is
like,
nice.
I don't need to do that.
But I like that because I kind of always have imagined that I'd love my partner to be quite removed from, like, the gay scene like that. Just in general. Yeah. Forget, like, coming to watch you do drag, but just, like, I would love if my husband wasn't, like, at every... party, you know, doing all the fucking things.
Yeah, no, my husband, I'll say to my husband, be like, do you want to go to a party like this weekend? And I haven't asked him in like 6 months, and he'll be like, ooh, maybe, that sounds fun. And then the night of, he's like, no.
Yeah, which I do you like that? Like, I would love that.
Oh, I love
to
it.
Be honest. Yeah,
I love it. And I mean, slowly I'm turning into a little old man who never wants to go out, but I'm also like, I'm turning 36, like I'm embracing my 30s.
So, know? Back to your friends and family. Did you grow up like performing on coffee tables for them and stuff? Has that always been your nature?
Like, yeah, I was more an art kid, but I was like the loud art kid. So, like, I would want to do the plays, but I like to paint more. So, like, I would paint and I would do the sets, but then also like I would still audition. So, like, I was still in people's faces and wanted to do those things, but I was a little bit more artistic in a sense where I was more like a painter.
And what's your earliest memory of like doing something adjacent to drag that you would say was like the first step on the ladder?
Oh my God, I actually remember. So I was in high school and there was this play that my friend Oz had written called You Don't Know Jack. And it was about a man who was having this like psychosis and seeing all of these people in his life confronting him about the wrongs that he was doing on his deathbed. I think it was literally in grade 12. So my friend had written this and his mistress was, and it was, everybody had these masks on and they like were personified animals or something. Anyways, it was fun. Anyways, so his mistress was a tiger. And this one girl was always late for rehearsals, was never showing up, and she wasn't that good. So I remember I was helping, and they were all my really close friends, and I was doing the sets and the costumes and stuff. And then one day I went, oh my God, can I just stand in for her for fun? So they were like, yeah, yeah, sure. So I stood in for her, and I gave it, like, pussy, bitch. Like, I was giving cunt. And yes. Then all of a sudden they came to me after. They were like, so... you got 24 hours to learn the lines. You're going to be her role. And we're just going to do you up in drag and you're just going to do it and it's going to be great. So they fired her.
Where is she now?
I did it. She's married with kids. She's doing fabulously. I think she married a gay guy, like, to be honest. Do you know when you see those girls from high school and their husbands are like a little too soft? Like, you know that they're in the forest, like, you know, getting pounded under a tree.
Yes.
I think he's one of those. But
so she's
doing
still
fine.
She's still being upstaged by a gay man.
Still being upstaged by a gay guy. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Amazing. Okay, so from that point onwards, okay, so Juice is like just being born. You on that, in that like moment, kind of that's like the embryo of the whole thing. And then when is your debut?
My debut was at a party called FML Mondays with Mojo Toronto, and I wore a little black dress with little, like, remember those thick heels with the spikes all over them? I forget what they're called.
Yeah, yeah, like Lady Gaga vibes.
Yeah, like those ones. I wore those with black tights because I didn't want to shave my legs because I had very hairy legs. And I wore, like, lipstick and, like, the tiniest bit of makeup because I was a makeup artist at MAC Cosmetics. So I was like, I don't need to do drag makeup. I could just do girl makeup. And I wore a blonde wavy wig, and I did a performance to Fuck Love Gimme Diamonds by Iggy Azalea and Do It Again by Robin. That was my first performance ever.
And did you feel like you crushed it, or do you feel insecure about it?
The night of, I was like, I'm cunt. I had two backup dancers, and I felt so good. And looking back on it, I'm like, you should be embarrassed. That was bad. But at the night of, I felt great. But I was also wasted, right? I was partying, so I was drunk.
And then how, like, frequently after that are you, like, now officially, like, doing drag? Is it even like that? Do I sound like an ignorant straight person? No. Is it even like that? Like, do you make a crossover where you're like...
full-time job.
But, like, does it sort of slowly happen? It's not, like, something that you just sort of, like,
No, it's really slow. So what happened was, it was something that I did on the side for a while, and I was just having fun, getting the biggest ego I could possibly think of. And then all of a sudden, something had happened just with my realization of the people I was surrounding myself with and the craft that I was falling into and the addictions that I was forming. And I sobered up from alcohol and I started to take drag more seriously. My husband and I had a sit-down conversation, and he decided to let me quit my job at MAC and start doing drag full-time. And then within a year of me doing drag full time, I got on Drag Race. And...
Wait, no, rewind. Okay, so what is the year? So what is the year that you have this?
2019
sort of
is when I got on Drag Race. So 2018
what
is
was
when
the year
I
that
got...
you like yeah that you got sober. Okay, so it all happened at once.
Yeah, so it all kind of happened at once. It's like I got sober. I decided to start doing drag full time. Like, it all kind of happened, like boop, 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 boop. So it was all like a quick thing. I think I was 3 years sober by the time I was on Drag Race.
And so how does one get on Drag Race? Do you apply? Are you headhunted?
I just applied.
So you felt pretty good. So you felt like you're pretty solid.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to get on, but I felt good.
Oh, no, but I mean, as in you felt good enough to be considered for that, you were confident.
I mean, you'd
enough.
Be stupid not to apply.
So you're sat there at the computer, you're applying, and then how long when do you hear back? What's that process like? How do you feel?
I think it was like 3-4 months.
Okay, that's long.
Yeah, it was a long time. A lot of phone interviews, a lot of videos, a lot of talking, a lot of waiting, a lot of... all that regular schmegular shit that you have to go through applying for Drag Race. And then I got on and I was like, they're lying to me. There's no way I'm on the show. And then it wasn't until I like walked on set where I was like, oh yeah, no, I'm here.
And are you talking to your husband? You're like, I'm going to be famous. Like, this is fucking insane. Or are you trying to be
I told
cool?
my husband, because he didn't love it. He didn't love the idea of me getting on the show.
Because
he's very private. So he didn't like the idea of me being so public. But he got over it.
So day one, Drag Race, cameras up. Yeah. Are you shitting yourself? Or is it like the drag queen vibe? Okay. You're just confident, you're cunty,
no.
And you're fine.
I'm absolutely shitting myself. Thought I was going to fucking barf at every fucking moment.
And was everyone the same energy? Like, is everyone feeling the same, you think?
Or terrified.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that makes it better, surely.
It's so scary, you know?
Right.
It's you're in an unfamiliar setting. You're with people who you know but you don't really know. And you're in a space where you're constantly being judged, constantly being told you're not good enough. And so when you do get a compliment, you're like, oh, my God, I love that. So it's just hard.
So when you leave episode one, and how long is the wait for your episode to air?
I came home in November and my episode aired in July.
So are you shitting yourself about a bad edit that whole time? Or
yes.
Yeah, so you are.
Yeah, and when there's no sugarcoating it,
yeah. I could completely imagine.
Everybody feels that.
Right. Because you described yourself as a control freak on something else I listened to or watched. Yeah, and so that really surprises me that you went and did that, because I'm also very controlling too, and there mm-hmm. is absolutely no way, if I wasn't able to produce myself or look, even if we were doing this podcast and you had hit record, I might feel a little bit ambivalent, because I would want to go through and like chop it up.
Nice.
No, so yeah. Like, so if you have that similar personality, how the fuck did you survive all those months?
You just kind of had to let go.
Yeah, okay, you just
you
have
need to. You okay. need to. Yeah, you need to accept that there are things in your life that you cannot control, and that is okay.
So you could have not done it though.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't have had the stepping stone in the career that I wanted.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, it was obviously worth doing.
Exactly. So okay. It's just like, you kind of start to accept it, because you have to, there's a give and take. I want this, so I'm going to have a panic attack on national television and go home first.
So your episode's coming out, you know, it's obviously being publicized. And are you like, let go, like a production, like, hey, the episode's coming out, and are you in the fold, or are they kind of like, see ya?
Oh, no. There's a whole PR machine. You're okay. Part of the world of wonder. They're constantly emailing you. You're going on interviews. You're doing all this stuff. Yeah. No, you're not okay. thrown by the wayside. They're there for you.
So it's not America's Next Top Model. Okay. That's good to know. So your episode's about to come out. Are you like, have you got all your family and friends over a big bowl of Doritos, some Oreos? Is it like, are we all super excited?
Babe, it was July 2020.
Uh-huh.
Where else was I going to be? Okay.
So it wasn't a party then, I guess.
I lived with my parents at the time because we were trying to save money. And we wanted to live in a small town versus a city during the pandemic. So we were living with my parents. So we had my parents and my parents' neighbors over, because we were in a small town. So we were like, fuck it, let's get wild. So we watched that together. And then I then had to get into full drag and do post-show interviews.
From your parents' Zoom?
From my parents' bathroom.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is quite surreal, isn't it?
Isn't that famous?
Yeah, during that. So you must be a bit resentful that you had that experience over COVID.
Like, I got over it.
Yeah, but it would have been...
I had a lot of therapy.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you had, like, running around, like, downtown Manhattan when your episode... That would be so fun. Oh, that I feel, like, annoyed for you that you didn't get to, like, walk around feeling yourself just for those 6 months or whatever. That would have been so fun.
No. My tour was a drive-in movie tour. So they would do... They would sit in their cars and honk for us performing. It was
That's still
something.
Fun. Yeah.
It's fine. It was in like the dead of winter. It was so bad.
And do you have like, did you feel any pressure? So as you see your followers going up, as you know that this is going to be a somewhat of a flash in the pan for you, are you like, do you feel pressure? Are you like, well, I've got to like use this moment? Because I feel like that's how I'd feel.
I call it, we call it like a window. The window slowly closes. And you have to take advantage of all of that stuff while the window is still open.
What was that stuff and what did you do?
Just being current, staying in people's faces, creating content, making a niche for yourself, like being different than the other girls on your show. Like, I had to create this video game gamer nerd niche, and I embraced that part of myself and opened my Twitch channel and became a very digitally produced queen. So I was very, and I still am, but a big part of my brand is video games and Twitch and that digital space. Right. Versus a lot of those people who are more the live space. And for me, a lot of my roots in drag are performing. So while I love being in a digital space, I love being on stage. So it's a bit of a dance that I've had to do now that we're in a post-COVID world.
And they can't be synonymous?
Well, not, they can and they can't. They do have some spillover, but like, there's nothing like being in front of like 100, 200, 300 people screaming. You know, right. There's nothing like it.
So would you classify yourself as like internet famous or like TV famous?
Gay famous.
Gay famous. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
100%.
Gay famous.
So funny. Yeah. I feel somewhat in the beginning processes of being gay famous, honestly.
Well, what are you at on your followers?
Nearly 200 on Twitter.
200,000?
So, yeah. Yeah,
wow, maybe I should get guys to nut on me.
That's what I'm saying right at the top of this. Yeah, literally.
Jesus.
It is kind of crazy. Also because like, I am that insecure gay boy that you have touched on. And so like it, mm-hmm. and that happened, I don't know, it's just very, very weird to go from feeling like unseen to seen. And also quite nice. That, like, also quite nice. Very confidence boosting in all the, like, good ways. Do you feel similar? Like, does it change the head on your shoulders, like, getting attention?
No.
It hasn't.
I feel like it's like you can't let it get to you too much, because then you end up being the opposite of what somebody wants to work with.
But not even in a positive way, though. Like,
I mean, I know what I'm capable of, and I know what I'm good at, but I try not to be overly confident with those things.
Interesting.
Try not to.
Maybe my base level was lower than yours. So I feel like I'm on the ground floor with my confidence levels because of the internet. Yeah, because of the internet. Yeah, nice. Yeah.
No, mine's just kind of. I just kind of am like. I feel like I'm very chill now. And I think something has to do with being in my mid 30s. I just feel like I'm able to just accept, like, these are the things about me.
Right.
Fact. Done. Right. You know, I try not to get too overpowering with it, because I don't want to fall into who I was in my 20s, who was an overconfident little cunt.
You know, oh, no, but I love that. That's the person that got on stage, you know, and started this whole thing for you.
Yeah, but now I can channel that and get on stage and do it. But I also don't want to be an asshole. I want somebody who people want to be around. Right. I want to be somebody who people want to hang out with and spend time with.
But is that really, like, is that drag culture, though? Is that drag culture? Because, like, all of my favorite drag queens are, like, I don't know if I'd want to go for dinner with them, but, like, I absolutely love watching them on stage. You know, like, it doesn't, you know, humble and drag isn't right.
There might be their persona, but, and I'm fine with that being a persona on stage. Right. Like, I'm in my persona on stage, you know, I very much give that, but outside of that, like, in a dressing room, like, if you were to see me in a dressing room, I would try to be very warm and very polite. Well, and very, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, there's on stage, and then there's, like, there's those other parts of the night, you know? I think that's what I was sort of getting at.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Basically, don't be an asshole.
Period. Yeah, nobody wants to work with an asshole. I'd rather work with an ugly, talentless girl who's super nice in the dressing room than the most beautiful girl who's the best performer ever, but she's a fucking cock. Like, I would rather have the ugly girl. Give me the ugly girl.
Or be the ugly girl. That could be it.
Be the ugly girl. Embrace the ugly girl. Be her.
So iconic. Oh my gosh, so funny.
Yeah.
When are you too tired to do drag? Like, when are you like, I can't fucking do this anymore? At what point does that happen?
All the time.
Like, because I've never seen, like, a 60-year-old drag queen.
What?
Never. I haven't, no. And I've seen a lot of drag shows, yeah.
Never seen a 60-year-old drag queen?
No.
Diva.
For real?
I've seen more than I want to 60-year-old drag queens.
Will that be you?
No.
Okay. Well, so what are you
going to do? No. I'm not going to look at, like, put on my little church dress and beg for money in a cup. You know, I don't know. It's just not my. For me, drag isn't forever. For me, drag isn't forever. Drag is an incredible, wonderful, blessing career that I have for now. But there's going to be a point in my life where I think I'm going to hang up the wig and be like, age gracefully out of it.
But then will juice, like, continue in other things, you know? That's still possible.
I think it should be a lovely memory. Maybe I'll get her tattooed.
Oh, no, a memory. Okay,
thigh.
You really do think that. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so
sad. I think our lives are come in seasons, you know? Like, there's going to be the person who you were 10 years ago isn't the same person you are now. So who's to say that the person I was for 20, 30, 40 years is still going to be the person I am then, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like you've built a brand, you know, and had some really cool opportunities.
I have.
Yeah.
So and it's feels a lovely thing to look back on. I'm not saying now. I'm not saying in 2 years. I'm saying that maybe one day when when my fucking knees are ready to give out and I don't want to be slapping war paint on every Saturday, you know?
So interesting. And have you, I'll nearly wrap this, I promise, but have you, have you spent much time, do you have any old drag queen friends? Do you have any people who are giving you wise words?
Carlotta Carlisle, who is a Toronto drag queen, has given me some of the wisest words.
Okay, tell me. I want to know.
Well, she was very good at, like, calling me out on my bullshit. She'd be like, you know, don't be unprofessional, show up on time, think about this like a workplace, you know, come in, do your work, and then leave. Katinka Couture, who is her sister, who also gave me a lot of really good advice about being professional within workspaces, and then also thinking about your drag from a head-to-toe stance. Like, your nails and your heels and your outfit should all be considered and thought about. Do I listen every time? No, but I know I should. Who else?
What about Fahrenheit, like, what about like deeper, you know, stuff? Like, that's what I want to get to. Like, what about what about the stuff about like your psyche and your the finances, like, and your life, just all of those things? Do you speak?
No, I don't think I've let anybody be that close to me.
You haven't. Interesting. I mean, I feel the same way with OF2. Like, I don't have like a tight relationship with anyone who's doing the same thing that I'm doing either. But yeah. I would like that though.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't have a drag mother, so, like, I don't have that relationship with that. Yeah. I have a child. I have a drag daughter. Tiffany Box. Get it?
Okay, wait. So you do this. So you are close with Tiffany? Or you? That was a joke.
I'm close with Tiff. Okay. I'm close with Tiff. But she's not the one giving me advice. I'm her mother. Okay. I'm gonna give her the advice.
Which,
you know,
is
so
what?
When I say, well, I mean, she... I just try to be as... I try to say everything that I've said here. Like, you know, there's pieces about you that you need to keep for yourself. There's pieces about your life that are just for you. You've got to create boundaries with people who come to your shows, because people who come to drag shows think that they are owed our lives. They think they're even owed our bodies. Like, they'll grab you and touch you and hold you and squeeze and pull things off and spank you. I had a girl one time spank my bare ass because I was wearing a thong. And, like, anywhere else, that's sexual harassment. So I was like, what the fuck are you touching me? So I said to her, I was just like, don't spank me. I don't want you spanking me. And she says, well, you can spank me if you want. And I said, I don't want to touch your ugly, saggy fucking ass. Don't touch me.
Fair enough. She cried.
That's fair. Yeah, she was drunk and she cried because I called her ass saggy. But whatever.
And now she's but Republican.
And now she's dead. I think I just kind of like try to let her know that. I try to listen to her when I can. But, you know, yeah. I don't have that relationship with somebody because I don't have a mother. And the people who I started drag with, we don't talk anymore. So
interesting. Interesting. Do you know what I find it's like really, 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 really fascinating is that I've like put down my success online to the fact that I did it in a vacuum, because obviously when you start OF, like, you're not asking your family and friends for their opinions like you would if you were starting any other endeavor. And so
you didn't call your mom and say, check out this video.
Yeah, I would now, but not then.
Oh my God.
Not then. So I'm trying to say is that, like, it's so interesting how you get support from all these people who you don't know. But now, obviously, I've met loads of these people. So similar to you, you have like a drag family or drag co-workers. And so you're able to see, like, still the support you get is from people who do not know you. And the people who've like worked with you where like weird jealousy or issues, or they're still the stuff, people viewing your stuff but not liking it. Like, that to me is so confusing. Is it like
the same thing?
It is, yeah.
It's the same thing. It's literally the same thing. I'm sure there's a lot of porn stars out there who are just like, why does he keep his eyes open the whole time? You know, like...
But like, why
is the first thing I asked you, I was so fascinated. I was like, how do you keep your eyes open?
Oh my gosh,
that whole time.
Lots of people ask if I get pink eye, but pink eye is from shit, I think.
No, you wouldn't get pink eye. You would just get a fucking dry, very dry eye.
Yeah, it's just, it hurts a bit, but you know.
just burns a bit, but it's worth the views.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you're saying the same thing. So people who you used to work with, like, are not right up there supporting you and like commenting.
No, they that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's a lot of people who I used to work with that I'm still friends with, but we're not close in a sense where I'm calling them every day, you know, where I'm saying, like, where they're like my closest friends. I do have a tight-knit group of friends that I do connect with still, right, and ask them those things, but they weren't like
You give the vibe that you don't really need it, to be honest with you, in a good way, in the best way possible.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think that there's a sisterhood there, but they are also your coworkers.
Yeah. I think I'm projecting onto you because I'm like the opposite. I would like.
Oh, okay.
I would love that. Yeah. Especially at the beginning, when you're new at something, it's quite
well,
nice.
But that was, for me, the beginning. That was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so I needed it then, but now I'm in a different stage life, and I've grown, and I don't need it. I love them.
And you have
a
relationship,
Yeah, I've got my husband. I have my close friends. I don't live in a city anymore. I live outside of the city, so, like... Right. You know, so my friends who still do drag, I'm still close with a lot of them, and I love them so much, and I support them, and I'm cheering for them from the sides. But I think that I don't want to be fully enveloped in that life. For everything.
Yeah, that's a vibe that you're giving me. That's a vibe that you're giving me now. You're giving me like that you're not really right in the middle of it, which I quite
no.
Yeah, which I
why
kind
would
of
you
like.
Be?
Well, I mean, you could be, you know, but
you
you're
could,
not,
and that's great, yeah. And that's great, but just not for me, not for yeah. me right now. It's a great job. I'm really happy. I love it. I'm still in it enough where I can feel involved.
Right.
But I'm not going to drag shows every night. It's oh, my
of,
God, I'd rather
yeah, try. Yeah. Okay, that's so interesting. It's kind of in your rearview yeah. mirror slightly, a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, that's so fascinating. Whereas I'm like absolutely opposite. I'm like day one, I feel like I'm day one, you know?
Day one OnlyFans or day one drag?
Well, not drag. Yeah, this can
oh,
be day one
I was
drag.
Just like, welcome, sister.
this is it for me.
Day one OnlyFans, you're like, I want to see dicks every fucking day.
Yeah, literally. But you're right. Maybe if like I interviewed myself in 10 years' time, like you, I'd probably be like, I don't need the phone calls from creators. I'm like, I've done it.
You're like, I'm fine. I've moved on. Yeah. I have a backlog.
Thank you so much for your time and for connecting with me at all of the good things.
Thank you so much.
I loved it.